Welcome to a place that loves a shoot and a work. My name is Ian, and this is the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. My guest for today is my girlfriend, the love of my life, Natalie. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you.
Thank you for coming on and putting up with me.
It's all right.
2 episodes in so far. Just released the first 2 episodes. Got some good feedback, so I'm happy with that. Constructive feedback as well, which is always welcome. I'm having problems with the audio, and I probably will do for a while, because I'm new to it, and I don't really know what I'm doing half the time. But this is just a hobby. It's a bit of fun. I think it's going okay. Anyway, just to let people sort of know where we are, we did record this episode about a week and a half ago. The problem we had was, I was pretty ill at the time. We both sort of caught the coronavirus. Didn't really affect you, but it was affecting me quite a bit. Surprisingly more than I expected to. I like to think I'm fairly physically fit and strong. But it did sort of get hold of me a little bit. I was quite surprised with that. And when we recorded it, we were both a bit flat. Especially me. I was mumbling a lot, so I've decided to scrap it. And we're going to do a new one. We're not going to do the same one we did last time, because I want it to be genuine. I want it to be feel like it's real. I don't want it to be a copy, so we're just going over the same thing. So I've got new subjects. I've got some new questions for you. I've got some things that you don't know I'm going to ask you. Not the same as last time. A little bit about yourself. I want people to understand why I've got you on here. It's not just because you're my girlfriend. It's because you've got a knowledge in both subjects. You're a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yep. You rank higher than me.
Yep. Even though you're better than me.
No, you're definitely technically better than me. You've been training boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai for years now. When I first met you, it was probably 6 years ago now, 6-7 years.
Yeah, because it's took me about 6 years to get up to purple belt. So yeah, I'd say definitely 6 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Well, I mean, you remember it more than me. You've mentioned it to me and you've refreshed my memory. I remember the first time we rolled, we sort of got on really well. And I did have a bit of a thing for you, and then I found out, obviously now, that you had a thing for me at the time, but we was both in positions where we couldn't sort of go down that line. I think I was 4 fights deep at that point when I joined that team, but some good memories. Again, purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you've been training for a long time. Why did you get into training in the first place?
Just something I've always been into, martial arts, like you do when you're a kid. You grow up watching, you know, Van Damme films, Dolph Lundgren, Stallone, Wesley Snipes. So it's always been something we're into. I mean, as a kid, I did karate like most kids do. I think I ended up quitting before I got my yellow belt as well. So it weren't full contact what I thought it would have been when I was like 10 years old. But I got into it like 6-7 years ago. One of the girls that we know, she were advertising a women's MMA classes, so I thought, right, I'll go down, see what it's like. Spoke to Dan Hudson at Body Flow, that's not there anymore, and took it from there, really. I thought I were capable of punching and kicking, because like I said, I did karate as a kid, and yeah, weren't very good, so it was starting from scratch again.
You're good now, though?
A bit.
You are. Yeah, so the second part of this podcast is also about pro wrestling, so having some fun with it, trying to make it a bit more enjoyable as well. I think it's not very cool at this minute in time, but I think it's quite fun, and I enjoy watching it. Yourself, you've been watching since the 90s?
Yeah, again, since probably being about 10 years old.
So you've got loads of experience in that as well, watching it, obviously not actually doing it, but as a fan, you've been watching it a long time. So
yeah.
When about in the 90s did you start watching?
I'm trying to think now, probably about 95, and again, it will have been the era of The Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and then going into the Attitude Era, which I carried on watching it when I was like a teenager.
Yeah, did you have a bit of time off? I've noticed what seems to come up a lot is people seem to phase in and phase out of pro wrestling. They seem to have their own era, or multiple errors. Do you know which your sort of errors are?
Yeah, so the main era that was mine for wrestling was the Attitude Era. Again, that were late 90s, early 2000s when I was a teenager. That's when I paid attention probably the most with it.
Yeah, and then you had some time off?
Yeah. I think I stopped watching wrestling about 2002, 2003. And then I got back into it when, was it 2015? It might have been when Seth Rollins was a part of the Authority.
All right, so this is what we're going to do today. We're going to have half of the podcast. We're going to chat a little bit about women's MMA. I want your opinion on that.
Yep.
Then we're going to have a little break. Then we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the sort of women in pro wrestling. I think it'd be good to get an opinion from a woman about women in both aspects of what we enjoy talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah? You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm good with
that.
So
obviously, I'm sure further down the line we'll get you on. We'll just talk sort of broadly about either one. But I just want a woman's perspective on the women in MMA and pro wrestling today.
Yeah.
So, compared to other sports, how do you feel women's MMA is going at the minute?
I think it's going definitely in the right direction. I think women have got a lot more opportunities in the sport than they have in any other sport. And they're getting good matchups. They got good payout of it. They obviously, a lot of the women are probably earning a little bit more than the men.
They featured better than most women in most sports as well, because a lot of women are sort of, like in football, just men's leagues, just women's leagues. They've got divisions in the UFC. Well, obviously, you'll have like a women's match, then a men's match, and maybe a couple more, then another women's match. Usually, you've still got more men's matches on the card in the UFC or Bellator, etc. And I think that's just because there's more men fighting at the minute. But that's quickly quite... I think that's changing quite a lot. I think it's coming up. A lot more women's getting into it. And I think they tread better than most sports, even boxing. I think a lot of these old sports that have been around a long time, women's tread terribly.
Yeah, I think we women in martial arts, I think it's always still going to be a very small pool, but it is getting better and better. Like you say, the women's division's getting a bit bigger. It's more well-rounded. They're getting a lot more amazing fighters, and they put a lot of work in. They probably put a bit more work in than some of the male fighters. But yeah, definitely, they tread so much better than women playing football, rugby, any other sort of sports.
Yeah. So what I want to do is I just want to highlight some of the women in MMA, get your opinion on them, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So we didn't do this last time. I sort of got you to do some matchups from the past. What I want to do is I just want to bring up a couple of women and just get your thoughts on them. I think women in MMA are highlighted much better than they are in most sports. The vast majority of people still might not know who most of them are, other than Ronda Rousey. I think everyone sort of knows who Ronda Rousey is at this point. That'll bring us on to our first fighter to talk about, which is Ronda Rousey. I want to get your opinion on her.
You know what? She did a lot for the sport. I will give that. I'm not a massive Ronda Rousey fan. At first, I did like her, but when the win started racking up and there were a bit of arrogance, and then obviously going to Hollywood and doing a few bits and back, quite easily started to turn a bit sour with her. But I'll always give that to her. She has done a big thing for the sport. She's put it on the map. And she's made it more irrelevant for women to get into as well.
Yeah, I believe that women would have been in the UFC eventually anyway. But maybe without Ronda Rousey, it might have been quite a few years later.
I think it would have took a little bit longer, but good thing, like I say, Dana White was so stoked on her that it pushed it forward definitely a few years.
Yeah, exactly. She went on an amazing winning streak, obviously lost to Holly Holm, came back. She looked worse than she'd ever looked after that first loss. A lot of people seem to think she was exposed. I think she probably just didn't have the heart for it when she fought Nunes. And it sounds quite harsh for me to say that. But if you've seen the fight, she didn't want to do any sort of press coming up to the fight. She didn't want to talk to anyone. She just wanted to get in there and fight. She looked all over the place. But I don't want to be negative on her. I'm a fan of hers just for what she did for the sport. And she became sort of a hated character at one point because of her attitude. Obviously, when we talk about sort of pro wrestling and stuff, you need that heel character sometimes, that bad character that you want to see people beat them. Josh Koscheck was a great example of that. No one liked Josh Koscheck, but you wanted to see him lose. The worst thing in MMA, fighting, pro wrestling, anything like that, is to be in the middle where no one cares. You want to be loved or you want to be hated. If you're in the middle and no one cares, that's the worst position to be in. So, second person I want to get onto, sort of the foil for Ronda Rousey, would be Holly Holm. I want your opinion on Holly Holm.
Really like Holly Holm. A really good boxer, good kickboxer.
Did you watch her beat Ronda Rousey? Did you watch the fight?
Yeah, I remember watching that. Because, again, Ronda Rousey had this big mystique about her that she's unstoppable and she's going to do the judo throw and then, you know, do the armbar, the usual trick she did with her last couple of fights. But when Holly, obviously, the head kick and then took her down, it was just like, wow, can't believe this has happened.
If you watched it in real time as well, it was just
insane.
It was amazing to watch. She just kept tagging her, and you just watched this character you thought couldn't be beaten or was going to be difficult to beat, just slowly just falling apart. There was one point where she, I think she threw a hook and Holly ducked under it and stepped off. And Ronda hit a knee and fell into the cage. And I remember at that point I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, you could see her just looking a bit myth-like. Why aren't I winning? You know, the disbelief that this...
She looked as confused as we were.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I think after that match, it definitely put Holly Holmes up there and it made her name a lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah. The third female I want to get your opinion on is one of my favourites, just because I don't know why I've got such a love for this character or this fighter. Is Misha Tate. I think she had it tough when she came into the UFC. She was on 2-fight losing streak. First fight was against Kat Zingano. She was expected to win that and then go on to face Ronda Rousey. She won the first 2 rounds in that fight and then got beat in the 3rd round. And it ended up being Kat Zingano versus Ronda Rousey in the Ultimate Fighter House. Kat got injured. Misha stepped in and then got beat by Rousey. So she was on a 2-fight losing streak. And then she put a great streak together, winning streak. I think it was four fights from what I remember. And was denied a title shot. She couldn't get a title shot. It was just after Holmes beat Ronda. And she couldn't get a title shot. And then I think Holly's team begged Dana White for the match. As sort of a warm-up fight or a tune-up fight until Ronda comes back. And then at UFC 196, I think it was in the co-main event. McGregor versus Diaz won. One of the best women's fights of all time.
Yeah, I felt really bad for Misha Tate because I don't think Dana White gave her enough opportunities. And she were like the underdog of the UFC. And as much as I were gutted that Holly Holmes lost the title after, you know, that match, I were happy for Misha Tate at the same time as well, because she never really got given the opportunities. Like you say, she kind of asked for these title shots and don't know why Dana was just like, no.
The way she won that fight as well in that last round, she was clearly, the fight was, it was competitive, but it was slipping away from her halfway through the last round. You could tell she was probably down. And that mad scramble in that last minute where she clung to Holly. Took her down, spun around, climbed on her back. Holly tried to throw her off. She clung on for dear life, got the choke in, and Holly went out punching the air. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah, you know, as you do when you're training, like with jiu-jitsu, it's so hard to try and keep hold of someone's back as well. And
yeah,
and obviously determination of Holly Holmes, like, no, I'm going to fire Iris, and then you just see her go, boom, that's it.
Yeah, what a great fire. So, fourth fighter I want to get your opinion on is Rose Namajunas. I know you're a big Rose fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, she may be fighting Zhang Weili next.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your opinion on Rose?
I really like Rose. Again, she's one of them I weren't massively keen on at first, because I remember watching her in The Ultimate Fighter. But as time's gone on, you can see her progress and getting better and better. And when she won the title off Joanna, I was so chuffed for her in that, because obviously I know she's got a few personal, she's had a few personal issues, but yeah, it's just brilliant to see her, you know, getting up to the top. And she's second ranked now in the strawweight division.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even the favourite over Zhang Weili, but we'll see. But yeah, that Joanna fight, especially the first one. I was really nervous going into that fight because she has had sort of mental health issues and stuff.
Yeah.
And Joanna was this stone-cold killer at the time. I was genuinely worried for Rose taking that fight. I didn't want her to take that fight because I didn't want to see her get hurt. Don't want that to sound sort of patronizing, but I didn't want to see her get hurt in that fight. And then she came in and obviously dropped her and finished her and won the belt. And that was another one, a great win against somebody that had a massive win streak and everyone thought was like the Terminator.
Yeah, well, I'd say it was same sort of build up as like Ronda Rousey did with Joanna. She were just like I said, this unstoppable force. And to see Rose take her out, it were great. And again, I think with Joanna, she had a similar sort of mentality with like what Ronda did, you know, very unstoppable. And I'm not going to take it away from them that they are fantastic fighters. I mean, I couldn't do what they do, and you know, get in that cage, it's a scary thing. But I were really happy for Rose, definitely, after all that, you know, blood, sweat and tears she's put into it.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea why I'm just bringing some female fighters up, just in case anyone listens to this that hasn't watched much MMA or watched much women's MMA, I just want to highlight some of the top fighters in the sport, some of the best women's fighters, not just because they're women, just in general, some of the best fighters in the sport. Fifth one is the best pound-for-pound woman of all time at this minute in time. I don't think it's going to change for years, really. And that's Amanda Nunes. What's your opinion on Amanda Nunes?
Again, Amanda Nunes, amazing fighter. You can see the determination, the heart that she puts in. I mean, she's trained really hard. And to have 2 belts as well, that's you can't, again, you can't take that away from her. She's worked really hard to get to that point. I think it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be hard to try and get those belts off her unless she decides she wants to retire.
Yeah, true. I mean, when she fought Cyborg, she was a big underdog in that.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was great. That fight was just, how long did that last for? Only for a few minutes, weren't it?
50-something seconds.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it's one of the best women's fight of all time, which is tough when it's less than a minute long.
Yeah, and again,
the build-up.
And again, Cyborg, she was like this unstoppable machine. And yeah, for Amanda to just take her down like that, it were crazy.
Again, it's another fight where you've got somebody that's on a massive streak, seems unbeatable, and the underdog prevails. But she was faster, she hit hard, she just destroyed her. It was amazing to watch. So, what we're going to do next is, I want you to give me two fights that you want to see in any of the women's divisions within the next year.
Yeah, it's probably an obvious one straight away. Weili Zhang and Rose Namajunas. Again, it'd be nice to see Rose get back on top. Rose is like second ranked. Obviously, Weili is first ranked. So it'd be good. Yeah, it'd be good to see that matchup. See how they compare to each other with the striking skills. And yeah, it'd be nice to see Rose get the belt again.
Yeah, yeah. Either Rose get the belt again or Weili Zhang to really solidify herself as a top threat. And then, obviously, if she did that, I think she has to fight Rose before what I'm about to suggest. But if she does beat Rose, you've potentially got the strawweight versus flyweight champion there. Shevchenko versus Weili Zhang, which would be an amazing fight.
Yeah, that'd be really good to say.
It would.
Really good to say.
So, a fight I'd love to see. This isn't the biggest profile fight, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist at times. When it comes to MMA, I like a style versus style match. I also like to think I'm quite modern as well, so I like to flip-flop each way. But my style versus style fight would be Mackenzie Dern against Michelle Watson. Karate versus Jiu-Jitsu.
I were thinking about those two, and obviously you picked it. So, because again, I like Michelle Watson. I think she's fantastic. She's getting up in the ranks. And same with Mackenzie Dern. There's just a niceness about her. And I know she's originally a Jiu-Jitsu background, but she's racking up the wins and she's getting herself up there in the rankings.
Not just a jiu-jitsu background. She was the world champion. She was,
well, yeah.
She was one of the best women's jiu-jitsu competitors, pure jiu-jitsu, in the world. And then she stepped into MMA. She got into the UFC a few years ago. She was doing all right. I think she picked up a loss or two, missed weight a couple of times, didn't seem like she was that bothered. Went away, had a kid, came back, and seems like a different person now. She's got this new focus. Maybe it's because she's her mum.
It's kind of a similar story to like Michelle Waterson, because that's what happened with her as well. Obviously, she did a few fights, got pregnant, obviously had her little, and then came back, and she's better than ever, and she's racking up these wins.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, again, another mum sort of just on fire.
I think maybe because the parents, maybe that does give you a bit more determination, thinking, no, I've got to do this for my family, because you're providing for them at the end of the day.
Maybe, yeah. So it'd be a pure jiu-jitsu. Well, she knows how to strike as well.
Yeah.
But I'd just like to see that sort of jiu-jitsu versus karate style.
Yeah.
What's your second fight you'd like to see in the next year?
My second one, another one of my favourites, Valentina Shevchenko. And I would like to see Jessica, is it Andrade?
Andrade,
that's it. Sorry, bad pronunciation. Again, Jessica, she's on a good win streak. She's like built like a little tank. And to be against Shevchenko, again, a phenomenal striker, it'd be a good to see a matchup, because obviously Jessica's like a bit of a powerhouse as well. So yeah, it'd be good to see that matchup.
But Andrade has just moved up to that weight.
Yeah, yeah.
And just got a win over Chikagian or something like that. Yeah. I always forget her name wrong.
Yeah, and she's second ranking as well behind Shevchenko, so that would be a good matchup to see.
It would be a good one. It would be a good one. Sort of that sort of skilled assassin style of Shevchenko. She's got good wrestling and jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Against that little tank powerhouse in Andrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my second one I'd like to see in the next 12 months. I'm being a little bit fantastical with this one, but that's what I'm like anyway. If Amanda Nunes doesn't retire before the end of the next 12 months, I want to see her against Kayla Harrison.
Right.
So, I think she just moved to Invicta. She was in the PFL. She's not in the UFC yet, but she's just moved down to featherweight. So, they technically could meet at featherweight.
Yeah.
But she's a big girl. She's 8-0 in MMA. She's a judoka. Let me just get my facts out here so I don't get it wrong. She competed as a judoka at 78 kilograms and now fights at 66. So that's she's now 12 kilograms lighter than she was a judoka in. But when she was at 78, so she wasn't undersized, she was the 2010 World Judo Champion. She won a gold medal at the 2012 and 2016 Olympics and won gold at the 2011 and 2015 Pan American Games. I've just read that off a sheet. I knew she was good anyway, but I've just read that because it's hard to remember all that. But she is as high level as it gets. She was a former Ronda Rousey training partner, and since the PFL season got cancelled in 2020, that's when she moved to Invicta. So if she can just, I don't know if she needs a win or two. I think her record's, she's 8-0, but I think she's got like 3 wins by KO, 3 by decision or sub, and then 2 on the other side, decision or sub. So she's got quite a varied finishing record. She's not just TKOing people. She's not just submitting people. She's winning by decision as well, so she can go the distance. So Kayla Harrison, I think she's the biggest threat in MMA at the minute. She could do with a little bit more experience, but I think she's the biggest threat for Amanda Nunes.
Again, that'll probably solidify her. Obviously, she's got a lot of gold collection. If she could beat Nunes, that'd be solidifying her ranking, in MMA.
I think just because Amanda Nunes has wiped out pretty much all the contenders, you have to look far and wide for someone that's going to be interesting. And that's the most interesting matchup I can find for her.
Yeah, it's like you say, obviously she's going through the division, and it's going to be hard to find that one person that's going to stop her, because she's a machine at the end of the day.
Right, so what we're going to do, we're going to have a little break. Yeah, get a drink or just have a little break, have a little breather. Then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your pro wrestling experience. And I've got a couple of questions for you in that field as well. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Great, right then. See you after the break. Break over. This is what we're going to get into now. We're going to get into some pro wrestling stuff. We're going to get into the fun, wacky world of that. So, we've been watching since the 90s. We've already gone over that. We've had a couple of different eras. What about pro wrestling sort of keeps you fixed and entertained by it? And why do you still enjoy it even in 2020?
I don't know. Maybe it is just the silly storylines and the curiosity of where it's going to go.
Yeah. Do you think it's still as good as it used to be? Or I don't want to be that sort of old person that's like, my day was better. Is there a point in time that you think's been the best? I know a lot of people say the Attitude Era. I don't agree. But was there a point in time that you think was better than now? Or do you think today gets sort of more criticism than it should? Do you think it's better than most people give it credit for?
It's a bit of a mixed bag for me. I mean, I think the athleticism is a lot better today than what it used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago. I'd say the storylines are a lot more creative, like so many years ago. A lot of them now, they just don't make sense. And again, you don't want to put it down and say, oh, it's terrible, which, like I say, the athleticism, definitely. I think the product is a lot better, but it's just little things.
It can come across as a bit lazy today, I think, some of the storytelling. I think that might have to do with the fact that Vince McMahon's 110 years old and still in charge.
Yeah.
I don't think someone at his age should be running a massive corporation or company. Maybe it's not just Vince McMahon. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's as time goes by, things change. I don't know.
I think he's got too many yes men behind him. So whatever the writers give out, obviously, I know they say that he'll look at it and go, no, we're not doing that, and rip it up and write something completely new. But yeah, it's just very lazy writing. It's just everything's kind of recycled, the storylines.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get too negative. I want to get going. So I've got a bit of a quick fire round for you.
Right,
so,
okay.
So just to let everybody know where we are. So on the last episode, I did this with Ted. I fired out a couple of questions or a couple of names or two different things. You've got to shout out, or not shout, but you've got to say one as fast as you can without thinking. So if I said red or blue, you've got to go
red.
Red or blue. Yeah. So let's just have a little practice. Red or blue?
Red.
There we go. Perfect. Easy as that.
Okay.
It's as easy as that. So for listeners, we did do this a week and a half ago. So just to make sure doesn't feel staged or anything, I've changed all the answers recently. Changed them all.
Right.
What's the Rowdy Roddy Piper saying? When they think they know the answers, I change the questions. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Are you ready anyway?
Okay, go on then.
Here All we right. go. Trish or Lita?
Lita.
Shane or Stephanie?
Shane.
Randy Orton or Batista?
Rando.
WCW or ECW?
WCW.
WWE title or Universal title?
WWE title.
Sasha Banks or Bayley?
Sasha.
Carmella or Lacey Evans?
Carmella.
Intercontinental or United States?
United States.
Impact or Ring of Honor?
Impact.
Undertaker or The Fiend?
Undertaker.
Hornswoggle or Great Khali?
Hornswoggle.
Johnny Gargano or Tommaso Ciampa?
Johnny.
Nick or Matt Jackson?
Matt.
Shawn Michaels or Triple H?
Triple H.
SummerSlam or Royal Rumble?
Royal Rumble.
Vince McMahon or Dana White?
Dana White.
Fast and sharp there.
Except that last one. Yeah, actually, I think we might change the last one, Vince McMahon.
Vince over Dana.
Yeah.
Right then, so we've talked about sort of women's MMA quite a bit. So when it comes to women's wrestling, obviously, at one point in time, it was terrible. I think it was probably impossible for a woman to watch women's wrestling 15, 20 years ago. It was obviously there's like Lita and Trish, but who else is the other than those? It was just bra and panties matches, like. To a young girl or even a teenage girl, why would they want to watch that?
Yeah, that was the one thing I never liked about with females wrestling, like, again, 15, 20 years ago, is there wasn't any relatable wrestlers. Probably weren't until Lita. For me, personally, it was like Lita, because obviously she had that bit of a grungy, punky, you know, mosh type look. And at the time when I was a teenager, that's how I looked, you know. Short black cropped hair and the big baggy trousers and that. But yeah, women's wrestling, brown panties matches, pillow fights, evening gown matches, they weren't fun to watch. It was just degrading.
Also, though, Lita was given a bit of a bigger stage as well. She was taken seriously. She was put with the Hardys. She was put with Edge. She was given more of a main event spot. Also, I think she was her and Trish was the first ever women's main event on Raw years ago.
Yeah.
I remember it being a big deal. It's not a big deal anymore, and it shouldn't be. Anyway, not to get too negative about it. That's not what I want to do.
No.
I want to be a bit more positive. So, quick question for you. Which brand, so this is on SmackDown or Raw or NXT or AEW or even Impact, which sort of show do you think has the best women's division?
I'd say NXT. I mean, we watched a bit of Impact. I think it was last week.
Yeah, the other week.
Some of their women, their female wrestlers look great. They had some interesting characters, but I'd say NXT at the moment, their women's division, they've got a good, solid, like, network of talented women.
Yeah, I think they've got a good mixture of physical women, physically. Yeah. They've got the technique, and they've got some good characters. Impact seems to have some great characters. Physically, they don't seem too athletic, and you don't have to be.
No.
But they seem to have great characters without the athleticism. WWE sort of Raw and SmackDown have some great athletic women, technically very good, but the characters have been diluted quite a lot.
Yeah.
AEW is just finding the feet. I think they're quite far behind with their women's division. I go on about this, people listening won't know, but I talk about this with you all the time. I hate their belt. I hate their women's belt. I know hate's a strong word, but I find it's a bit of an insult to think that's meant to be a championship.
Yeah, it's not the best belt. To be honest, I think the NXT women's belt and the Impact at women's belt, I think they're the best two belts.
Yeah, I think they're great.
Again, with AEW, they're only a new brand. I'm hoping in the future they're going to build up something good.
Hopefully. But yeah, I honestly think the NXT division's probably the strongest in all of wrestling. I know Japan's got some good women's wrestlers that have come across and gone back and women's wrestlers that have stayed over there, but I mean, physically and the characters, I think, especially when there's no crowd and stuff at the minute, it must be tough to run a show, but I quite like watching the NXT women's division. I just watched Halloween Havoc, and the two women's matches on that last month were great. I thought they were two best matches on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what I want you to do is, we're going to, similar to what we did earlier with the two MMA women's fights, I want you to book two women's wrestling matches for WrestleMania this year. Again, we'll go back and forth a little bit. So, two women's wrestling matches that you'd like to see at WrestleMania this year.
So, my first one would be Io Shirai versus Asuka. And again, it's just because they're from, obviously originally from Japan, they were both on the same Japanese brand. I think it's a Starcade, I think. I probably got that wrong. But it'd be nice for them to showcase like the Japanese strong style, you know, really let loose and let people see what Japanese wrestling's all about, because they were big names back in Japan.
And Asuka, when she was in NXT, she had some great matches. She's had some alright ones on the WWE main roster, but I think they sort of hold her back for some reason a little bit. They don't let her use a full moveset.
Yeah, they, like I say, she had that, again, she had the undefeated streak in NXT. Like, obviously, her slogan was it, no one's ready for Asuka.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know Charlotte Flair, like, ended the streak. But yeah, I don't think they're utilising her right. Really don't. They kind of started making her like this Japanese manga character that's coming out with silly quotes, which is a shame. And obviously, you don't want to be negative about it, but she's such a good wrestler, good character, if they take her a little bit more serious.
Yeah, I say, Io Shirai, Asuka, just let him go. Just let him go on a big stage. Let him do all the moves. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
So my number one, it would be, I think you need to finish this at WrestleMania. It can't be done now. If it's actually done now, it's an absolute disgrace to wrestling, I think. It's Bayley and Sasha Banks. I think this Carmella feud with whatever Carmella's doing at the minute, the bits that I've seen, I think that's just to stall this out until WrestleMania. You have to have the Sasha and Bayley feud finish at WrestleMania. It'll probably never finish because there'll always be the sort of four horsewomen sort of thing. But they need a big blow-off match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, it don't really make... I know Carmella's got this new gimmick that she's untouchable. That's the new character. But yeah, definitely. It's just like a bit of a halfway point to see if Bayley and Sasha, you know, end whatever going off between them.
Yeah, they've still got a way to go to WrestleMania, so I think it's just a way of trying to keep them apart a little bit to eventually bring them back together. I hope, anyway.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep the belt on Sasha for a while, and like I say, it's to see if Bayley's either going to get it back or if Sasha's going to retain.
Yeah, so what's your second one?
I know you originally picked this, but it's Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, round two. Because again, I know they did WrestleMania this year as those two, and it were a good match, but it'd be really good to see with a crowd on a bigger stage, a bigger platform, just to see who is like the ultimate female wrestler between them, because they're both big girls, like big strong girls, very athletic, very talented. But it would be better, I don't know, I think it'd have a better atmosphere being at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit before this, when you were sort of asking me a little bit what I thought, and I was asking what you thought. I think it was a good match at WrestleMania, Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. But obviously, because we were just getting used to having no crowds, it killed every single match on the card. So hopefully fans are back, and I think should let them two go again in front of a crowd, because I think they deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my second one, it's a bit out of left field, this one, so it's not something you'd think of straight away. So bear with me. I know no one really likes Nia Jax. She's known for injuring people, especially a lot of the smaller women. But this is what I'd do. I think they need some new stars in the women's division. I'd gut the division, release some of them, just sort of clean the division out, because it's tough at the minute. I think you need a new surge, and you need to use NXT, and you need to use it right. There's some great women there. Obviously, you've mentioned Rhea, she's in NXT. Io Shirai, she's from NXT. This is what I'd do. I break up Nia Jax and
Shayna Baszler.
I break them up. Have Nia just go on this sort of run of just being an absolute arsehole. Just not actually injuring people, but you play as if they would. I think that'd be a good story. You bring up Raquel Gonzalez from NXT. 6 foot tall. She's 29 years old, so she's not too young. But I think you just push her to the moon. You just have her just wipe Nia Jax out. Two just big women going at it, and then you push it to the moon. I know they're building her up, but I think it's a time for, instead of slowing things down, just go with it. You could have Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair if you want. It could be Asuka. It could be an amazing division from what I've watched over this last year and caught back up on it. I think it could be a lot better than it is.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing we... like I say, when you've got wrestlers like Nia Jax, because she is a big girl, you need someone who's going to be equally as like powerful looking as her. And yeah, having her come up from NXT, I mean, we watched the match between her and Rhea Ripley, and it were like two big strong girls like at it, and like you could see them throwing blows, and they were like, it hardly fazed each other, but obviously eventually wore down. But yeah, I think that's the only think we, Nia Jax, she needs someone as equally as big and powerful as her, and that'd be a good matchup.
Yeah, even if it wasn't WrestleMania, just
no.
Just two big women going at it, I think it could be quite entertaining.
Yeah.
So, we're going to move on sort of from just the only women topics. Yeah, before we go, I want to get your thoughts on this year's Royal Rumble. I want to know who you think's going to win. So I don't know who you picked for this. You did mention something the other week. I don't know if you've changed your pick since. I can't even remember what you said, to be honest. Who do you think's going to win the men's Royal Rumble this year?
I think originally I was thinking of Drew McIntyre, but he's got the belt at the moment, so
yeah.
I'm kind of stuck on that one. I'd probably go with maybe, I know it's probably just a typical one, probably Randy.
Randy Orton?
Yeah.
I think Randy Orton wins the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And faces Drew again?
I think so, yeah. I think he'll want to get his title back off Drew, because there's no storyline with him and Roman, so it just makes a bit more sense going after Drew just to get his belt back.
Yeah, so I asked this question to Ted on the last episode, who thinks he's going to win the Royal Rumble. I was going to say Brock Lesnar after I'd sold him that I think Brock Lesnar is going to win it. And then when I asked him, he picked my pick of Brock Lesnar. So I had to go with Drew McIntyre, and now he's got the belt. So he's not even going to be in the match. What I think is going to happen is they've just taken Seth Rollins off TV for a while, haven't they?
Yeah.
So I think you give him a couple of months off TV. And then big entrance near the end. Seth's back. Have him win the Rumble. And then you put Seth versus Roman, probably at WrestleMania.
Yeah, for the greater good.
Yeah, it's not really what I want to see. I honestly think it's Brock Lesnar. Well, I did pick Brock Lesnar. Well, I wanted to pick Brock Lesnar on the last one. Ted picked it. I could pick it again. But I think if it's not going to be Brock, maybe Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I could see that happening, actually, if him and Roman had a feud together. Because obviously, you've got Roman Reigns, who's the head of the table. You've got Seth Rollins, who's the, the Messiah, who's going to save everyone for the greater good. It could be a good, interesting feud.
Yeah, so women's Royal Rumble. Who's winning?
I'd say Charlotte, because obviously she's had a bit of time off. I'm sure time Royal Rumble comes back, she'll be over healed, she'll be healed from the surgery she's had.
So you think 2 years in a row?
Yeah, definitely. They like to really push her. Vince loves her.
Yeah. So my pick was going to be for this, and I think it was last time we recorded this, and then we've scrapped it because it was ill. I think I picked Bayley last time.
Yeah.
To set up the Sasha Banks and Bayley feud at WrestleMania. But I'm going to change that. I think it's going to be Alexa Bliss from Help from the Fiend.
Yeah,
I think the Fiend helps Alexa Bliss win the Royal Rumble. Charlotte won last year. I can't remember. Oscar won and Becky Lynch won so far. I think Oscar's one of them sort of top women in the company that they treat as one of the main ones. I think she's one of the most interesting characters, not just in the women's division, in all of it at the minute, working with the Fiend. Yeah, so my pick is Alexa Bliss for the Royal Rumble. Assist from the Fiend. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like the idea of that. It'd be quite interesting. Like I say, if the Fiend's music hits and obviously the graphics on the Titantron, that'd be quite good and distract the last person. Like maybe dragging whoever's Alexa and whatever other female wrestlers there, dragging her down so she could win, or like I say, distracting them and then she throws her over.
Again, it's just because I think she's one of the most interesting characters. So maybe a Fiend Alexa Bliss character against Oscar could be quite entertaining.
Yeah.
Right then, before we go, got a bit of a question for you. Who do you think's... Obviously, I haven't told you about this one, so it's a bit of a surprise.
Oh, a sneaky one.
It's a sneaky one. I haven't even written this down, but I knew I was going to ask you. Who do you think takes over the company when Vince steps down? Is it Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Shane McMahon, or someone else?
Oh, I don't know on that one. I'd like to say Triple H, because obviously he's got a good feel for the business. Obviously, he's doing really well with NXT, but I won't be surprised if Vince brought someone else in who's probably like invested into the company.
So you think he'd bypass his own kids and Triple H and hand the company over to someone else?
If the money's right. If he can make an extra million or billion or whatever, he's going to do it.
It's The Rock then. The Rock's going to come in.
You know what? I really won't be surprised. That'd be quite funny.
I think he's going to bypass Triple H and Steph. And I think he's going to hand the company over to his baby boy, Shane.
baby boy Shane.
Yeah, I think Shane takes over after Vince. A lot of people seem to think it's Triple H. I think it's Shane. He's not gonna let it fall out of the family.
No, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if someone else invested a lot of money into the company that he'd quite happily sell it to him.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's a good answer.
Like I said, The Rock. Rock's investing.
The Rock is going to own WWE.
Yeah. Might be him and Shane. You never know. Partners.
Right then, so we'll leave it at that today. Thank you for coming on and chatting to me and putting up with me in general.
Oh, that's because I love you. Now we'll put up with you until the end of days.
I love you too. I don't know. I felt like I had to say that. I think you already know that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so we'll leave it at that. And thank you for listening. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for having me.